Okay, good morning. We're going to learn today the 11th perek of the Netzach Yisrael, chapter 11. And what I would like to do in learning this perek of the Netzach Yisrael is not follow his order. Okay? With apologies all around. I'm going to not follow his order. Just it seems to me, for the purposes of at least the way I'm comfortable to present, would be more comfortable for me to do it almost in a sense starting from the back, starting from the end, and then working forward. And it's quite a long perek, relatively speaking, to some of the other prakim here in the Netzach Yisrael. But we're going to try to cover what we will cover of it in this session, although we will certainly not cover every nakuda, every point that the Maharal makes. You may recall that last week, we learned Perek Yud, the 10th perek, which generally speaking in most works comes before the 11th. Netzach Yisrael is no exception. In the 10th perek, what his main theme was Netzach Yisrael, as we discussed. The fact that Hashem's connection with the Jewish people is indeed eternal. And it's not broken, despite the fact that we might look around and see that the Bnei Yisrael are not quite where we were in relationship to Hashem as we were at the time of the Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We're not there in terms of what has happened to us. We're not there in terms of what we've done. And therefore, one might imagine that perhaps, you know, the deal is off. And the idea of Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of Yisrael, the eternity of the Jewish people, which is, of course, a piece of a larger phrase, which is found in the Psukim of Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, that the eternity of the Jewish people will never lie, will never fail, will never be given up. So that's the idea which he came to prove. And if you remember, the direction which he took last time was threefold. On the one hand, he said that it has to be that way. It's a logical thing that it has to be that way, theoretically. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who really created the world, he created one, and from that, everything else around that exists in a supportive role. That was the Maharal's philosophical picture of Echad, Mikam Chisrael Goy Echad, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, this dual Echad that is Bereishis, that Hashem created the world for one thing, and from that everything else grew, which we discussed much earlier in the Sefer, and the Jewish people are that Echad, as he said. The second argument which he made was an argument from the Divrei HaNaviim, that the Naviim clearly say that no matter what, just like the day and the night will not, that, you know, continue, so too the relationship of Hashem with the Jewish people continue. As the Maharal explained beautifully, the metaphor is well chosen, because just like day and night represent, you know, high points, low points, but it's still there, so too for the Bnei Yisrael there are day periods and night periods, there are times of redemption and times of difficulty compared to day and night. However, the deal remains on. The deal remains on. And the third thing was sort of an empirical argument, which is that with everything that has happened, the Jewish people are still around. Right? The Mark Twain Lahavdil argument, right? The Bnei Yisrael are still around and still going and still connected, and that's there. So that was this is the eternity of Yisrael, which he speaks about there. In a sense, what he's going to be talking about today is really an expansion on what we learned last time, or a continuation to some degree of what we spoke about last time. What this parak is about is, again, to maintain, to substantiate the idea that the connection of the Jewish people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which is unchanging, which is eternal, which will always be there for the Bnei Yisrael. That's what he says, that's what he's coming to demonstrate over here. In a certain way, what we could say is that he's really expanding on the first principle. The first principle, which is that there has to be this connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. Right? He'll bring more proofs from the Neviim, it's true, in his discussion. Yes, and certainly the last point is not laid aside. However, he's going to be talking, I think, mostly, certainly we're going to focus on is about this idea of the necessary, absolutely necessary connection which exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as I said, we're not going to follow his order. And what I would like to begin with really is the Mishnah, which he explains at the very end of the parak, which he uses to set up a structure for a lot of what he has to say here. And the Mishnah is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel, Mishnah Yudalid in most editions, 3:14, a statement of Rabbi Akiva. Hu haya aimer, he used to say, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Bitzelem. Listen to this Mishnah carefully, if you will, if you can. He used to say that a man is precious, because man was created in the divine image. And Chibla Yaseira Nodas Lo Shenivra Bitzelem. Shenemar Bitzelem Elokim Oses Adam. And this special chiba, the special preciousness, was made known to him, as it says, and God, because God made man in his image. Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Banim Lamakim. The Jewish people are precious, as they are called Hashem's children. Chiba Yisera Neidas Lam Shenikru Banim Lamakim. And they have a special chiba, there's a special preciousness which was made, the special preciousness was made known to them, as Hashem said to them, you are Hashem's children. Batim Matim Lashem Elokeichem. And finally, Chavivin Yisrael Shenitlem Kli Chemda. The Jewish people are precious in that they were given the most coveted kli, the most coveted tool. And this was made known to them, as it says, that Shkilek Achtev Nasati Lachem Tayrasi Al Tazayv. I've given you a lek Achtev, I've given you a good purchase, a good item that you can have for yourself. Tayrasi, my Tayra, do not leave. That's the precious tool with which, as the Mishnah concludes, Hashem created the world. That's the Tayra. So the Mishnah lists three levels, or three expressions of chiba, of preciousness. The first one, it just says about Adam, man. The last two, it says about Israel. Adam is created, man is created in the image of God. One. Two, the Jewish people are precious, they're called Hashem's children. Three, the Jewish people are precious that they were given the Torah. So, what is spoken about over here? Okay, on one level, again, you have, you know, very simply, a human being is the highest of all creatures. The Bnei Yisrael are somehow considered chosen from amongst all of the people, the children of Hashem, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. And Hashem shared with us his wisdom, the great wisdom of Torah, the Torah which creates the world. He gave it over to the Jewish people to some degree to be able to do the same, to create and to maintain the world. And in a certain sense, the way you would read it, if you would ask me, it would go, it perhaps could be structured something like this. Hashem created all man with a special quality beyond everything else that exists in the world, B'Tzelem Elokim. But then, Hashem showed a special preciousness, a special love, special care for the Bnei Yisrael, that he called them his children. How's that? Why is that? What was the transformation? I mean, everybody's B'Tzelem Elokim, everybody's in the image of God, everybody has, so to speak, that resemblance to Hashem. So why are the Jewish people the ones uniquely who are called Hashem's children? Comes the last thing and it says, we are the ones that Hashem taught his Torah. And in truth, that approach is substantiated by a beautiful Rashi in Chumash, an overlooked Rashi, but a beautiful Rashi in Chumash. In Rashi in Kriyashma, no less, where it says, in the Kriyashma, in the reading of the Shema, in the first paragraph it says, Vishinantam Levanecha, you should teach it to your children, Vidibartabam, and speak in them. Says Rashi brings your children, your Talmidim, your students. Why? Because students are referred to as children. Shal Talmidim Kruyim Banim. Students are referred to as children, and teachers are referred to as parents. And Rashi brings proofs to this. He brings a proof that, for instance, Elisha referred to Eliyahu HaNavi, who was his mentor, his Rebbe, as Avi, Avi, as my father. But listen to another proof which he brings. How do you know that students are called children? Because the students of a person are called his children, because it says, "Banim atem laHashem Elokeichem." You are children of Hashem your God. What does that mean? It means that Hashem taught us. It's not because Hashem created us or because Hashem adopted us. "Banim atem laHashem Elokeichem" is because Hashem taught us Torah. So therefore, we're his quote unquote, we're his students. But a student who's taught, you know, these essence, the essence here of life, of wisdom, So the person has formed him. You know, the Mishnayos in Bava Metzia, they speak about when a person has his father lost an object and his teacher lost, his Rebbe lost an object. So, you know, who has precedence? Who does he take care of first? Right? They both gave him life. They both gave him form. One of them gave him life and physical form in this world. The other one gives him life and form of an eternal value. Of course, by the way, very importantly, if a parent makes his child have an opportunity, gives his child an opportunity, please don't close the door completely, Chaim. If the parent, for instance, sends their child to study, even if they didn't study with them themselves, they're also considered that they brought him Olam Haba. That's what the Paiskim say. They have also brought him to this world. But if the parent just brought him into the physical world, period, right? And the other one brought him to the spiritual world, says the Gemara, maybe that's more. He's put the imprint on his soul, not just the imprint on his body. But we see, we call ourselves the children of Hashem, not because He created us. Right? That wouldn't merit the Jewish people uniquely being called that. But we're the only ones who He taught the Torah. He didn't do it for any other nation. And therefore we're called specially Hashem's children. So it presents a beautiful sequence in the Mishnah. Everybody was created in the image of God. But only the Jewish people are called His children. Because only the Jewish people were taught the Torah. That's where it goes. It's not we're the children because of a physical aspect or because of the general makeup, but because of the additional infusion of teaching and knowledge which came through the giving of the Torah.
I was wondering in this Mishnah, what's the addition of "and they were told"?
Okay, so there are two levels at least that we can talk about with this. The first level is that Hanaisen matana l'chaverei tzarech lahidiyei, a person who gives a gift to his friend has to tell him. That's what the Gemara says. Even though normally, you know, when you speak about charity is better done anonymously because it creates a feeling of indebtedness. I needed, and you came and you stepped in and helped me. It doesn't make me feel so good. But if I'm bringing you flowers, or maybe in your case a necktie, then the idea is I'm not giving it to you because you have a need, right? You already have 12. You already have 25 neckties. Right? I'm giving it to you because I want to show that, you know, I like you. You know, I want to do something. To give it anonymously doesn't carry that. Right? You want to be able to create a bond. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be able to create a bond. And so he did that. And indeed, you know, the Maral discusses this in this parak, where he quotes that Mishnah, and he says the fact that Hashem is telling them about it shows that it's all taking place within a relationship that exists. Otherwise, you know, it's just something that you have, but if I'm telling you about it, I want to make sure that you know about it, it's because I can only communicate to you because there is a bond, and I only want to communicate to you because I want to have a bond. So therefore, it's not just a quality that we have, but it's a live, active chibur, a live, active relationship which is there. That's one aspect of it. And the other aspect of it is, you know, I don't know about you, I have one of these things here. Okay, got, you know, one of these things. What do you do with this thing? What do I do with this thing? So I use it for my calendar and I use it for my phone numbers. And in a certain sense, I can't manage without it. Can't manage without it. It goes on a blink, I'm finished. But you know, I could do 100,000 more things with 100 more things with this thing, and I have no idea what it is. I have no idea what they are. Same thing like with my computer. You know, I write documents on it and I send emails back and forth, right? Too often for my taste, too infrequently for people who write, right? But you know what else you could do with that thing? You know, now not just okay. If I went to a graduate, a further graduate, I already have a master's in computer science, but it's from 1980 something. It's like they didn't even know that these things existed then. But you can figure out things. Oh, it's great, but forget that. Simple things, probably. Not things that, you know, somebody could just show me what it is. So somebody buys a computer. Do I know what I have? I just have the scrape the surface of it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only gave us these kaychas, not only gave us these abilities, but he said, I want you to know what you have. Okay, here's how you do this. This is what you're going to be able, you know, you have a Tzelem Elohim. Hashem created billions of people, so to speak, with a Tzelem Elohim there that exist in the world. let's assume for now, billions of people exist with it. How many of them know it? How many of them know what it means to have a Tzelem Elohim? How many of them know, for instance, if we would just adopt for a moment, you know, the simplest, I shouldn't say the simplest, I should say the plainest, but not yet most surprising, of interpretations of Tzelem Elohim, which is Rechaim V'Loshner. What do you think of when you think of God? When we say Tzelem Elohim, so what does Tzelem Elohim mean? Quick, what does Tzelem Elohim mean? The image of God. What does that mean? You're in the image of God. What do you have that makes you in the image of God? Huh? A godly soul. So what does that mean? That you are, no, you have a spirituality, right? You have maybe free choice. You have a certain intellect. All of these kinds of things. Tell me, when you think about God, you think about it that He's very spiritual. When you think about God, you think that He has free choice. Right? When somebody's running down the street away from the earthquake, La'olein Rachman Tzlan, or from the Twin Towers, and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, "Oh my God, oh my God," what they're thinking, that He has good character traits? Right? Because you tell Him Elohim, He's supposed to have good character traits, like Hashem. Hashem is kind. You're supposed to be kind. So you think, oh, Hashem with good character traits. That's what they're thinking. When you think about God, you know what you think about first? God Almighty. God Almighty, the powerful, the creator, the mover, the shaker. So tell me something. Tell Him Elohim, the godly image. Right? Big mover, shaker. Big mover, shakers, we are. Okay, sorry about that. Present company exempted. Right? You know, like what, you know, okay, so you know a couple of people, you know, this one you have. Right, but you know, place, you know, the president of the United States, the, you know, the CEO of this company, this Fortune 500 or Fortune 5 company or whatever it is, you know, those. I'm telling Elohim, says Rav Chaim V'Loshner, every human being is the Almighty. Every human being is the Almighty. Why? Because Hashem created the world. But the way the world continues to exist, what happens to the world, how the world develops positively and the opposite, it's up to us. He gave over the continued existence of the world, not just, okay, you know, we can build this, take this piece of wood and forge it into a table. But the very existence of the world, the spiritual existence of the world, the ebb and flow of everything, is only because of what we do. Hashem said, if you don't accept the Torah, the world's going to go back to nothing. I need you guys to maintain the world. Tzelem Elohim, Almighty. That's a, you have to, right? It's for another discussion. How many people know that? How many people think that, you know, something, even us, even Jews, even religious Jews, right? When your average religious Jew says, you tell him, you know, it's very important for you to do mitzvahs, you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, look, you know, in heaven, I know all Jews go to heaven, but there are the rooms with a view of the parking lot, and then there are rooms with a view of the Alps. Right there are rooms with you know the Motel 6 amenities, and then there are the rooms with the Hyatt Regency amenities. There are those who will sit in the bleachers when Hashem is there in the middle, and there are those who are going to sit you know, whatever court, what's it called in the basketball thing, well, courtside seats. Right, so you know what, if I want to have courtside seats, I better do the right thing. So we're thinking just about building up our 401k, you know, for the real period of retirement. Do we realize when we do our actions, it's forget what it's doing for you. You're making the world go round. The whole world is dependent on that. You're all powerful. We don't think that way. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to tell it to us, right? And we have to remind ourselves of it. Chibi Yisrael Nedaslam, know your power. Okay, that's the tangent here in the Mishnah. That's what I would have said the Mishnah is. That's what I said the Mishnah is. And in fact, to some degree, it's borne out a little bit. You see, because it's an interesting thing. Hashem tells the Jewish people, you are children to Hashem, your God. Banim atem Hashem lekechem. The Jewish people are called banim lamakim. How about the rest of the world? It doesn't sound like they're called banim lamakim, right? Doesn't sound like they're called Hashem's children, right? In the first line of the Mishnah, it says man is created in the Tzelem Elohim. But in the second line of the Mishnah, it says Yisrael, the Jewish people, are called Hashem's children. Hashem said to us, "You are my children." Banim atem l'Hashem lekech. I have a question. That's a pasuk in Sefer Dvorim. In Sefer Shmos, much earlier, in the first parsha in Shmos, Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro and tell him, B'ni b'chori Yisrael, the Jewish people, they are my son, they are my firstborn. Now what does that sound like?
The rest of my children.
Sounds like everybody's children. It's just, we're just b'chori. We're just the firstborn son. So what happened? Are we Hashem's only child? Or are we Hashem's b'chor?
That's before Matan Torah.
Oh, gewaldic. Beautiful. In the world before, this is what we're suggesting basically with this Mishnah. In the world before Matan Torah, everybody's a child of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have, so to speak, his b'chor, his firstborn, which is of course not a chronologic event, right? But his b'chor is also like the term bikurim, you know, which is used not just to remind, to speak of the first fruits, but it's also, you know, the best. Kodesh Baruch has, without question, a special relationship with Kal Yisrael. But everybody else was a child. Everybody else was a child. When Hashem gave us the Torah, then it switched. And with only Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, there's a change. Instead of referring to the Jewish people as Hashem's firstborn child amongst many, Hashem refers to him and says, you are my only child. Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. Why? How's that? So two things. First of all, like we just learned. We just learned that the Bonim now takes on this new depth, which is Hashem taught us the Torah. He gave us the Torah. So besides everything else, giving us the Torah, that's something which he only did for us. Only did for us. So this level of Bonim that we have, it's not just a little bit better quantitatively, so to speak. It's a whole different thing which only exists for the Bnei Yisrael. And you know, and together with that is, that Chazal tell us, Har Sinai, otherwise known as Har Chorev. What's Chorev? I mean, we mentioned it last week, right? Chorev is from there, Churban, destruction came down to the world. When Hashem Bochar, when Hashem chose the Jewish people, Chorev, to some degree, it destroyed it for everybody else. And there is this idea that becomes, so we're all Adam, the Bnei Yisrael are only ones who are called Banim. What do you mean? Why are the only ones who are called Banim? Because we got the Torah. That's what we would have said. Okay, now let's go to the Maral. Maral doesn't say this way. Maral doesn't say this way. Maral, in a certain ways, is broader, and in certain ways is making it even more narrow. The Maral says, indeed, when it just says Bini, you would have said, okay, so Hashem has many children, right? Banim Atam Hashem Alekechem says it's only you. And Bini B'chayri Yisrael says it's only you. Because B'chayri, a person only has one B'char. He doesn't focus so much on this distinction of Bini B'chayri implies you have other children. This implies that you are utterly unique. Bini B'chayri means you're utterly unique. A person only has one B'char, only one firstborn. And so in a certain sense, therefore we would be the ones who would be really only called Banim. Because, you know, in that level, on that realm, it's only going to be us. Maral also says that Adam, the notion of Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, it's true. Hashem originally created man. There was Adam who was B'Tzelem Elokim. There was Noach. There was everybody back then, before there was such a thing as Yisrael. So for the Mishnah to say Chaviv in Yisrael Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim, it just wouldn't click. It wouldn't be the right way to say it. It wouldn't sound right, because there were people before there was such a thing as Yisrael who were B'Tzelem Elokim. But in truth, says the Maharal, that the ultimate in Adam, the ultimate in Tzelem Elokim, only exists by man. By Yisrael, excuse me. Remember we discussed last week what the Gemara says, Atem Kruyim HaAdam, based on a verse in Yecheskel, Adam Atem. The Jewish people are called Adam. What does it mean they're called Adam? So on one level you understand it, that Adam was the ultimate purpose for which all of the world was created. After everything, Hashem said, I'm creating Adam and I'm delivering everything else that exists into his hands. But then when Hashem chose Klal Yisrael, ultimately, that role was taken on by the Jewish people. Everybody else is there to some degree to serve Yisrael. That was part of what the Maral was saying. That's the logical argument. That Klal Yisrael became the Adam, became the purpose, the top of the pyramid of creation. That's not something you can shift and change if that's who the world is for. The Maharal goes a step further and he says that that's idea that Adam is B'Tzelem Elohim is also therefore only for the ultimate Adam. The ultimate Adam is the one who has the fullest potential of Tzelem Elohim, of the divine image. Well, everybody was created with that possibility. The Bnei Yisrael are the ones who actually have the Tzelem Elohim. Yes?
The Kodem Achet, and then we're the ones that sort of got back Adam's Achet?
Kodem Achet, Adam had it.
Right.
Then it was to some degree, it started to be forsaken, and the Bnei Yisrael would have reclaimed it. Would have reclaimed the ultimate Tzelem Elohim.
Now, according to the Midrash, here, the reading of Torah, the divine spirit still rests on people who are not Jewish. Is that not true?
Where does it say that?
I have it here.
What parsha?
The parsha says that the righteous of all nations have a share in the world.
Which section in the Chumash is going on?
I call it, yeah.
Not the King James Version.
I want to address it. You know, there's hardly a question that every human being was created with Tzelem Elohim, mm-hmm. in the divine image. There are questions about what happens afterwards, and the Gemara does say the prevailing opinion in the Gemara is part of what you were just quoting, which is that Chasidei Umos HaOlam, the pious of the nations of the world, will have a portion in eternity, will have a portion in the world to come, and there's no question like that. Certain Chumashim, like the one particularly which you're holding in your hands, are written with a certain degree of extra self consciousness. That's one of the issues with that particular edition, but not to say that the thing is not correct. Chazal say a lot of things in both directions. We say every day as part of our Pesukei Zimra, Hashem didn't share the Torah with any other nation. And we had in the parsha last Shabbos, not this Shabbos, not yesterday, but a week ago, where Moshe Rabbeinu successfully requested from Hashem that his presence should not rest from then on the Ummah Salam, on the nations of the world. That the idea of Hashem's presence in the world should be unique to the Jewish people. So you have this duality. And what the Maharal is saying, and we're going to try to look at this just a little bit more closely here as we go along, is that, you know, in this Mishnah, when it's speaking about Tzelem Elohim, standard fare, which means man in the superpowered image of God, that you know, as a realized potential, is something which is happening really, really, really amongst the Bnei Yisrael, more than amongst anybody else. Not to say that there aren't possibilities and there aren't glimmers, and there isn't such a thing as the pious of the nations of the world. The Jewish people, we are on the track, full time, so to speak, 24/7 of approximating the image of God to the extent that a human being is going to be able to. It's not necessarily a completely exclusive exercise. Okay, so let's look a little bit here around this thing, and let's look at how the Maharal really interprets this Mishnah. Are you okay, Ben?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. The Maharal explains this Mishnah of Chavivin, you know, Chaviv, precious, precious. The Maharal explains this Mishnah, the three parts of this Mishnah, as providing the three sibos, the three reasons, the three causes, so to speak, for the connection, the eternal connection, the Netzach Yisrael connection between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way he explains the structure of this Mishnah. And the first one, what we just talked about, was Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. That man is precious because he is created with Tzelem, he's created in the divine image. And here the Maharal explains as follows. That Adam, that the human being was created with a divine image means with completely unique potential, within the world, for the achievement of the greatest things, of the fullest spirituality, the fullest similarity to Hashem that's possible and feasible. Man was created with that. And the B'nai Yisrael seem to be the ones who have the highest degree of being able to have that, of being able to do that. It's something which we gained through Avram Avinu, starting the process, perhaps, of finding their way back to the Tzelem Elokim, and it becomes something of a characteristic of the B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael are to be seen as having the greatest potential for realizing the Tzelem Elokim. So again, the Maral consistently, who says that Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem is not referring simply to the world as a whole, to Adam, but yes, man was created B'Tzelem Elokim, but then the B'nai Yisrael took on that central task of man, and they became the ones who, thank you, who had the greatest potential of Tzelem Elokim all the way through. And that's, so to speak, reason number one why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection with the Jewish people is so strong and so unchangeable.
Greatest potential or only potential?
Truly, as a nation, only potential.
Yeah.
As a nation, only potential. Individually, no. There's such a thing as the pious of the nations of the world who have a portion of the world to come, and there's certainly such a thing as the pious of the nations of the world who come and join the Jewish people, and according to the way Rebbe Shainim say, well, they'll have the same spiritual potentiality as a Jew who was born as a Jew. There won't be that difference there. But as associated with the Adam, the ultimate Adam, as a nation, that's the Jewish people and the Jewish people's alone. The greatest potential, the most internal connection, possibility that exists by the B'nai Yisrael. And that's the first cause of connection between Hashem and the B'nai Yisrael. And I want to just share with you a beautiful chazal which he brings to illustrate this. A medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabba. It happens to be on page Shin Aleph. I'm really going backwards. Page Shin Aleph here in the Netzach Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Maisa bekartonis achas, shohisa lo shivcha kushis, shiyor dehi vechaverta lamalis mayim in ha'ayin. There was a kartonis, a woman from a large city, evidently a big city. She had a shifcha. She had a maid who was a kushis. A kushis means she was dark, and she went down to with her friend to do some drawing of water. Right, the good old days. Amar lechaverta, she said to her friend, Chaverti, my friend, I want you to know, lemachar, tomorrow, adeni megarish es ishtai v'naitlani leisha. I'm telling you, my master, he's going to divorce his wife, the one who's in charge of me, and he's going to take me instead as a wife. So she said to him, Amra lo lama, why do you think that's going to happen? So she said, bishil shirosh yodea mefuchamais. I see her hands have become blackened with soot. She's having a hard time getting them clean. So because her hands are blackened with soot, the master's not going to be interested in anymore. He's going to get rid of her, and he's going to take me. So her friend said to her, Shaita. She said, Ishaita, you're being foolish. Yishma oznech mashapich medaber. Your ears should hear what your mouth is saying. So what do you mean? He loves his wife. So her hands got a little black. You think because of that he's going to divorce her? And instead he's going to take you? You who have this totally on your entire being? Right? You think he doesn't like black? Right? Progressive, right? So he, whatever it was, right? He says, you don't like, he thinks because he doesn't like black, he's going to take you, right? It doesn't make any sense. She has a little bit of black on her hands, she's going to divorce her, and instead he's going to take you who are completely that way. That's what the Medrash says. Says the Maharal. What's the Medrash saying? the hands, black on the hands. The hands are the maisim, they are the deeds. They're the deeds. So Klal Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beloved. Klal Yisrael is fair and beautiful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chaviv into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know, sometimes Hashem might not be so crazy about one thing or another. Why? You see the hands, they're black. The actions, the things which we do, they're not so good. So the nations of the world will get all excited. They'll say, oh, the Bnei Yisrael are doing terrible things. Hashem's going to get rid of them, and he's going to take us instead. Says, so we say, Shaitim, right? You're making a big mistake. Klal Yisrael, at the core, they have this greatness. They have this purity. They have this connection to Hashem. So their hands get dirty once in a while. You think that's a reason for Hashem to replace them with those who don't have this core? Who don't have this core significance? Who don't have this core connection? There's something special about the Bnei Yisrael. And we must realize it. Speak about Chibur Yisrael and Aslam. Sometimes, you know, Jews could be very uncomfortable with this. I can't say that I'm better than anybody else. What am I, a racist? What am I, egocentric? Who am I? You know something? You are egocentric. You are egocentric. Egocentric means nothing less than recognizing that you're at the center of the world. And we believe we're at the center of the world. If you don't believe it, then you need to start amending your sitter. You need to start amending your sitter. You and I said this morning when we davened, we said, HaBoicher Ba'ama Yisrael. You spoke about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. When you said, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Amim, you chose us from amongst all the nations of the world. Why did Hashem do that? Because we're idiots? Because we're inferior? Because we're terrible? He chose us for a reason. So you got to figure out what the reason is. And the reason would have something to do with us. Hashem has the Torah, and the Torah is a special key to being able to understand the thought and the being, the essence of Hashem Yisparach. You know, so tell me something. If you're Albert Einstein and you wanted to go and teach a physics course, right? So you'll go to Catonsville Community College, right? Or you're going to say, you know something, I am the premier physicist. I have remarkable, tremendous theories. I want to give them to the people who are going to do the most of them, not people who are taking it as some kind of a requirement who don't really have it. I want you to get me the best physics students, the people who have the greatest acuity for understanding this stuff, the greatest experience perhaps as well, and I want you to put them in my classroom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to give his Torah. So he says, I want the best. I want the best students, students who are going to know what to do with this stuff. Hashem chose us for nothing. We can't be so self-conscious to deny the special kaychus we are. That's Chibur Yisrael Noidas Lam. That's why Hashem told us. He said, you got to know who you are. Right? If you're teaching a class, right, and you have 40 students in the class and you have to be very careful, you do have to be very careful. Or if you have a family and you have several children in your family, and you have to be very, very careful not to be makir l'bein ben abonim. Right, don't show favoritism over one child over the next. We learned that from Yaakov Avinu and the tragic consequences which had as a result of that. But if as a result of that, you don't make sure that each one of those children or of those students or the exceptional superstar potential in a certain way, student or child, doesn't understand that they have a special gift in a special area that they need to be aware of, be confident of, be focused on to cultivate, you're guilty of not benign neglect. Of more than that. You have to know who you are so you can develop it. Kodesh Baruch wants us to know who we are to develop it. So, cause one is that Tzelem Elohim thing, the divine image. The divine image with all that potential implies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu let human beings know that. And we know that Klal Yisrael has, so to speak, assumed that role. Understand that you have a special, special, full divine potential. That's reason one why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Bnei Yisrael. Spiritual potential.
Can I ask smaller?
Hmm?
Does that mean the cloud is smarter? More smarter?
I don't know that we would call it smarter. We could call it spiritual smarter. Right? But I don't know, you know, I don't know that it means brains. Many people will argue, who aren't Jewish, that we're smarter. I don't know. Ich weiß nicht. I'll tell you a nice little thing. This Shabbos, there was a couple here in Shul who came as guests of a different couple. These not Jewish, older couple. They're both world class experts in music. One of them is the premier scholar, one of the premier scholars in the world in medieval music. University professors. Very fine, intelligent people. One of them speaks French more than English. And they came to shul. They came, whatever, one of the, somebody has them as teachers, so they decided to bring them to shul. Right? And the man came over to me. And he started trying to speak to me in English. I heard he had a French accent, and I grew up in Canada, so I said, "Ich kann reden auf Französisch." I'm sorry. I told him he could speak in French, and he was in French, and they were so taken by it, and he said, "You know, what's amazing here, more than anything else," he said, "is that, look at this, all of you." The adults, the children, you're praying in Hebrew. You're praying in the language of your forebears. You know, it's unbelievable. The language is still there. You know, the church gave up Latin a long time ago. Relatively speaking, you know, by and large, now they think they're starting to try to bring back some of it. That's bringing back some other things that aren't so good for us. But you're praying in Hebrew. You're praying in Lashon Kodesh, and he didn't say Lashon Kodesh. What's the idea, right? There's a reason why they call us the people of the book. I mean, we're teaching our children constantly about our faith, about everything. Such an emphasis. It produces something unique. It produces something special, right? Smarter by genes. I don't know, but I know that when you exercise your brain. It's like any other part of the body. You exercise it a lot, right? It's gonna be sharper. And Jews have made it their business, because we believe knowledge, Torah knowledge, and all knowledge is not the province of the teachers or the rabbis, but it's everybody's. So therefore, we use our brains a lot. So maybe that's a result. But we're talking here, really, I think, primarily about the spiritual potential. So that's number one. What's number two? Is Bonimatem. You are the children of Hashem Elokeichem. You are children of Hashem, your God. You are the children of Hashem. So what does that mean? Now really, if we would have started this perek at the beginning, what this perek is really about, titled so to speak, is about Bonimatem Hashem Elokeichem, about us being children of Hashem. Maral speaks about a famous passage in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that there are those who say that the Bnei Yisrael, even if they sin, they're called Bonim. Even if they make foolish sins, then even if they're making deliberate sins, even if they serve Avodah Zarah, we're still called Bonim. If they may be called bad Bonim, you'll never be called good Bonim again, right? Good boys, no, but if you say those who would have been dissociated, they can be called good Bonim, they'll be called good boys again. And the Maral speaks about this idea of Bonim. And he says that the Ben is the Olul, so to speak. We call the result that which was generated by the father, by the parent. And as a result, we have to see it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give us up. If we are Bonim, if we are the Bonim, we are the children, so then Hashem has chosen us in this way, or Hashem has generated us, made us in this way, that the change cannot exist in this framework, because that would be giving up the whole thing. And he refers back to this idea that we spoke about before, which was that, you know, Hashem generates one thing in the world. Hashem is the one, he generates one, and the one is that Ben. Ben is the Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, we have, so to speak, reason number two. Reason number one is because Klal Yisrael has special potential. Reason number two is the fact that Hashem has us as his Ben, as his child, is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore can never forfeit, can never change. We are the Ben. And he refers to a number of the things which we talked about last week. Bonim atem l'Hashem v'Shechem. Chavim Yisrael shenikru bonim l'amokam. And the third is what the Mishnah speaks about Torah. Chaviv in Yisrael shenit lam kli chemda. The Jewish people are precious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah. And the Torah is something we know as well that the world cannot be without. Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, Vayera Vayvaker, was evening, was morning, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. Right? So it doesn't say Yom Shishi, sixth day, but that sixth day. And Chazal tell us, why does it say that sixth day? Because when Hashem finished the creation, he said, it only makes sense, and it will only continue to exist, if on that other sixth day, the sixth day of Sivan, the day when the Torah is to be given to the Jewish people, if that goes through. Or the hay could be a reference to the five books of the Torah. Im mekadlum es ha-Torah, mutav im lav, if they accept the Torah, great, if not, I'm going to send the world back into its emptiness and nothingness. The world can only exist because of the Torah. And the Torah is the Jewish people's. So therefore, that's our third stake. That's our third stake. Stake number one is our spiritual potential. Stake number two is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has defined us as his child, as his only child. Can't give us up. And the third is that Hashem, we know, is completely invested in the Torah. And therefore, we need to exist because of the Torah. And I want to just share with you here the Maral's Teich, the Maral's interpretation of a Gemara, which is extremely relevant. I alluded to it briefly yesterday here in the morning in Shul. It's a Gemara which should be on our minds this time of year. The Gemara is a Gemara in Shabbos, which speaks about, we quote it very often as the Gemara of Purim, because the Gemara speaks about the receiving of the Torah. And it says that when Hashem gave us the Torah, Kofa aleim har kegigis, he held a mountain over our heads. And he said, you've got to accept this Torah. If you don't accept the Torah, you know, Shem Tei Kuraschem, you're going to be buried there. And the Bnei Yisrael said, okay, if you put it that way. Right? So they accepted the Torah. And the Gemara says, Mikan Maidah Ravali Eraisa. There could be something of a disclaimer there that the Jewish people would have. Come on, we were forced into it. But then, the Jewish people accepted it again in the days of Achashverosh. And there they accepted it not by force, but they accepted it the Ratzon, voluntarily. Me'avas hanes, from the love of the miracle, Rashi says, that was done for them. They weren't forced, they weren't coerced. So Purim is, as we say in the Megillah, kimu v'kibu, they upheld and they accepted, that kimu mashekiblu kvar. They upheld, they certified that which they had already received. Which they already received sort of under duress. Now they upheld it, now they certified it, now they accepted it with love, voluntarily, completely. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. That's what the Gemara says. So the whole Gemara is requiring understanding on many different levels. But first and foremost, you have the question, which is, I don't know, last I read in the Torah, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the Jewish people, and he said, you know, you saw what I did to you in Mitzrayim, I carried you on the wings of eagles, I brought you to me, and now you want to listen to me, you'll be for me chosen from amongst all the people, and so on and so forth, right? And Klal Yisrael said, we want it, right? Whatever Hashem says, we want to do what we want to hear. It sounds pretty voluntary. What are you talking about? Kav aleim har kegigis. What's going on over here? It's not a basic question. A question which is asked by the Midrashim, which make distinctions between the written Torah and the oral Torah. A question discussed by Tosfos. Right? Tosfos also says, well, maybe they got nervous once they you know, once all the thunder and lightning made them nervous, and they said, you know, maybe not, you know, this is, might be too much for us, then Hashem held the mountain over their heads until they would have to take it. The Maral says something else. I have a question for you guys. So Hashem comes to the Jewish people through Moshe. He says, Moshe, go to the Jewish people and tell them, you've seen what I did for you in Mitzrayim. I carried you on the wings of eagles. I brought you to me. If you want to listen to my voice, you'll be chosen for me amongst all the nations. What do you say? Right? So many shall say, we're going for it. I have a question. What if the many shall would have said, thank you, Rabban Shem, you're not going to believe this, but just yesterday we ordered a thank you gift for you. It should be arriving by UPS any day now. We really appreciate everything you did for us in Mitzrayim. We have fond memories of it. And in fact, I want you even to know that every year, around the 15th of Nisan, we're going to sit down and have a family feast to commemorate everything you did for us back then. But that's pretty much it. We don't want to sign up here for the long haul. What would have happened?
We would have been destroyed. There's no one to hold the Torah.
So is this really a choice? Shem says, you want it? What do you say? So you're right. You're correct. Huh?
Were we aware of the fact that the world would have been destroyed if we did not take the Torah? Or did we take it voluntarily because we really wanted it genuinely?
It was that the mountain.
Huh?
It was that the mountain in itself.
Okay. So it's something we have to consider, which we will consider a little bit more as we go forward, the idea that Hashem presents it to them in this way. Hashem even goes, there's great nuances there in how he presents it. He doesn't even mention, you know, we say we're bound to Hashem because we were slaves in Egypt and he redeemed us from there, so now of course we have to be his slaves. And Hashem introduces himself there. He doesn't even say, you know, you were slaves in Egypt and I went and I did miracles in Egypt to save you. He doesn't even say that. He doesn't mention we were slaves. He says, you saw what I did in Mitzrayim. I carried you on the wings of eagles. He doesn't even mention anything that would make us feel we're stuck.
Like his resume. Here's my resume. You like it?
Yeah. He says, I did beautiful things for you. I did beautiful things for you. What do you think? You like me? Right? You want it? Hashem didn't, in a sense, that presentation was, I don't want you to feel compelled. Kaf aleim har kegigis is the part of Klal Yisrael feeling compelled. And says the Maral, that's essential. It's essential not because, come on, you ungrateful bunch. Look what I did for you. Of course you have to do this for me. Could be true. But Hashem needs us to accept the Torah. Kaf aleim har kegigis, in the parlance of the Maral, is matan Torah mitzad hanosein. Is the giving of the Torah from the giver's end. Hashem is saying, I need you to take this. I need you guys to have this. The Torah is not going up in smoke. There's got to be a Torah, and you are the ones. You are the men, right? You are the ones who are going to have this Torah. I need you to take the Torah. Kaf aleim har kegigis. Compelling. Okay? Kodesh Baruch Hu also wants the Jewish people to understand he's giving them a nice gift. Wants them to understand, you know, it's something that's good, that's something to embrace. Right? But there's this element that has to be there in that realm. It's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. I always like say this like it's not really a joke. Especially with Pesach coming up. It's not really a joke. It's half a joke. But imagine, you know, you're running Esha Torah or Eitz Chaim or whatever it is, or Sameach. Right? You want to bring people close to Judaism. So you put up a billboard. Right? On Reisterstown Road, you know, right next to Fields Pharmacy, right? Right? Or wherever it is, you know, some real Jewish neighborhood, Owings Mills, and you say, come, keep the Torah. You really have no choice. I mean, you have absolutely no choice. You are bound to do this. God demands it of you. So maybe a little bit of career counseling would be in order at that point, right?
New marketing firm. New marketing firm.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nobody's going to listen to that. What do you do? You say, come taste the beauty of Shabbos.
Shalom.
Right? Turn Friday night into Shabbos. Understand? Like cholent, family time, an island of sanity from the insanity of the world. You know, family purity, right? You have to. It's going to be this thing that's going to regenerate your marriage. You'll be like a newly married bride and groom, you know, all the time, every month. You know, all these things that are basically, here, you like the mitzvah? Okay, then maybe you'll take it. Which is, in a sense, the opposite of Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma means, basically, whatever you say, boss, whatever you say. We're bound. And Kol Yisrael, as the foundation of Matan Torah, have to understand, you need to have this Torah. I need you to have this Torah. Purim, says the Maharal, so we needed to have the Torah. But the world would look and they would say, okay, they needed to have the Torah. So you jam the Torah on them. But what are they to the Torah? And what is the Torah to them? You force it down their throat, shkayach. But when the Yontif of Purim came, and says the Maharal, what's Pashat Kimu v'Kibu Hayudim? Simple translation of the verse. You know what Kimu v'Kibu Hayudim is? The Jews accepted upon themselves to celebrate Purim, to read the Megillah, to send Mishloach Manos, to do all of those things. What did they do there? They added a mitzvah. Right? From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's death until Megillas Esther and that verse, there was no new mitzvah that was added in the Torah. We have certain traditions about maybe they made a takana of tchumen or whatever, you know, different things that might have happened. But there's never anything which is explicitly said. They weren't ma'isiv dover echad min haTorah. Chazal say this until they came along with Megillas Esther and they added the Yontif of Purim. So there, what are you showing? It's not just that Hashem is forcing you to take it. Here you are generating and creating a mitzvah to bring upon yourselves. So now it's mitzvah and mekabel. We show that not just that Hashem needs us to have it, but that we want to have it too. And that's the koyach of Purim. That's the acceptance of an additional thing of Torah. But these, says the Maharal, are the three things, the basic three things that are the basis for the choice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Bnei Yisrael. On the one hand, Hashem chose us because of the special Tzelem Elokim, the special potential which we have. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consider us to be His Bonim, these the ones that we generated in the world. And Hashem needs us to carry forward His Torah. So yes, at times our hands are dirty, they're black, and we don't do things right. But it doesn't change core fact number one. It doesn't change core fact number two. It doesn't change core fact number three. It's all always going to be there. And therefore, that forms the foundation for the connection of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for the idea and the notion, which is alive and well today, as it always was, of Netzach Yisrael HaYishaker, of the eternity of Klal Yisrael that will not fail and will never be lost. And many things we left out here from this parak, but we will leave it at that for today. Leave it at that for today. And Yet Hashem, next week again, unfortunately I will be out of town, but again, fortunately, Aristotle is going to give a shiur this time, and I'm sure you will enjoy it as you have.